There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Man, did this dude just did this?
With the 20th pick in the 2016 NBA Draft, the Indiana Pacers select Caris LeVert from the University of Michigan.
The problem is you don't want to mess with a bat because, as you may know, they can be ratted.
But there goes Artest after somebody in the stands. And he is going after a fan, and he is waylaying a fan, and this thing is now getting ugly.
Got them all?
Justin Holliday has come in all three.
Do we have them all?
He did first time in NBA history that three brothers on the floor at the same time.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Born Ready to Pod Podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of the Born Ready to Pod Podcast. We're gathered here today to discuss the Pacers' most recent win against the Charlotte Hornets, 116-106. Pacers right out the gates got to a hot start, then ended up giving up a big lead, and then it was kind of competitive there for a couple quarters, and then they just pulled away in the fourth. So what are your final thoughts after watching this nice Pacers win here on a beautiful Wednesday night in the state of Indiana?
Yeah, Sabonis went from being questionable to having his second triple-double of the year, almost his third, as we know. That one got taken from him. And then Brogdon played like an all-star. Justin Holiday hit a bunch of threes. McDermott went crazy off the bench. I mean, this was a great start to the game and a great finish to the game. We let them get back in the game. They had the lead in the third, I believe it was. And then at the end of the game, you know, we took over, and the ball movement was key, I think. We tied a season high of team assists. Towards the end of that game, we had McConnell, Sabonis, Brogdon on the court. They all get the ball moving. When it's working, it looks beautiful. And I don't think the Hornets are that good of a team, but they can get hot and they can beat some guys like we talked about before. But it was a great win. Sabonis getting 22 points on 10 shots. I mean, had an incredible game. So just a fun win, and we see this team on Friday again.
Yeah, I thought I really thought ball movement, that's the key. I mean, I really thought McConnell was great. I know he only scored 2 points, but he had 9 assists. And just seems like when he's on the floor, the ball movement is impeccable. I thought, obviously, McDermott, my goodness, I've been saying it all year, but he just looks like a completely different player. And it's not just threes either, man. He's crashing. He's putting shoulder into guys. And he just looks completely different. Brogdon was Brogdon. Really great. Unfortunately for us, we had to see him probably in his worst game of the year. And since then, he's just been a stud. Turner kind of went back to his old ways a little bit, but Sabonis, that triple-double, I mean, we knew he was going to be okay, but he went from maybe not playing to just being the literal best player on the floor. And he just looked in rhythm and everything he did. He took a couple threes, hit a couple threes. That's kind of what you want to do. That's what we should do to the Charlotte Hornets. Charlotte didn't play bad. They really didn't. We just played really well. And we're 10 points better than the Charlotte Hornets. So that's my take on it.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like it was going to be close there for a while. But, you know, they're in the fourth quarter. The Pacers kind of just stomped their throat and finished the game. Definitely defensively was a pretty good game. 106 points, not too shabby. Gordon Hayward, they held him to 16 points. He was on a tear there, averaging over 24 points for the past few games. So pretty much kept him in check. Devontae Graham only had 16 points, and Terry Rozier had 20. So not much going there for the Hornets tonight. PJ Washington did have a good night, 18 points and 8 boards. And then Cody Zeller with 10 points and 14 rebounds. I mean, he looked like an all-star out there tonight.
Yeah, I mean, the Indiana guy comes out and has a good game. I think Denari mentioned it during the broadcast. He usually does a lot of good. And right when the game started, Devontae Graham, I think, hit 2 threes. We were down early. I got real nervous. I could just see that snowball affecting in. But this team buckled in and they're good. But yeah, Zeller, you don't really see that this year a whole lot. The big guys like we did last year just absolutely dominating us and getting the rebound. That's a lot to do with Turner playing a lot better this year. But this was one of the games, like Jake said, Turner kind of regressed a little bit or had just had a bad game, I'd say. He's played well enough to we'll give him that. So that's why you saw Zeller have the performance, I think.
I'm interrupting this part of the podcast to tell you guys about Bet Online, the best place to go and place your bets online for any game this season, from NBA, NHL, I mean, soon it'll be the MLB, WNBA, everything that you want to bet on, you can bet online at Bet Online. And use promo code ARMCHAIR today. That's promo code ARMCHAIR at Bet Online.
Yeah, and I mean, Turner still had 5 blocks tonight, so I mean, you know, offensively, he might not have had the game that he's been having, but a lot of guys picked up the slack. You know, McDermott, as we mentioned, with 28 points. So, yeah, Miles struggled a little bit tonight, but still, you know, defensive effort was there from him. So I'm not complaining. It's just I'm not expecting him to go out there and get 15, 20 points each game. He's going to have games like this on the offensive end. And then the other thing here, your boy is LaMelo Ball. I mean, rough night for him. 8 points, 5 assists, and 4 rebounds. Definitely away from that good value at a triple-double at plus 1,600 that we always hear about. So
I think Cook's got some issues today. I think I'm living rent-free in Cook's head right now, to be honest with you.
I'm just pointing out the fact that this guy's a little overrated. That's it.
He's definitely a little overrated. That's a fact. But you brought him up.
Yeah, go ahead. Let's discuss. Let's talk about him. I brought him up for a reason.
Yeah, let's discuss. What do you want to talk about? What do you want to talk about? A little LaMelo Ball action here?
Yeah, let's go. I mean, he wasn't close to a triple-double tonight, so what gives? I mean, where's that value that I'm supposed to be seeing?
I believe you were referring to about a week ago. He was playing one of the worst defenses against point guards, and for $1, you could win 16 if he got a triple-double. So, if that's what you're referring to, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have bet a triple-double against the Pacers because we, you know, do a fairly solid job on point guards. I think it's pretty clear that LaMelo Ball does have some skills, but in this particular offense with this particular team, I mean, they're very spread out. No one takes too many crazy shots. In fact, I think if anybody should be taking more shots, it'd be Devontae Graham. But, you know, Hayward's going to take between, you know, 12 to 18 shots a game. Graham should get around 12, and Rozier is a chucker and ducker, as we saw tonight. So LaMelo's just kind of falling by the wayside at this very moment. I mean, it looks like he only played about 20 minutes or so. So, if they keep sputtering like this, I would assume they'll try to move one of those point guards at the deadline and let LaMelo play a little bit. But, I mean, you can tell the kid has talent. I mean, he's only 20 years old. Actually, I'm sorry, he's only 19 years old, it looks like. So to give up on him would be pretty foolish. But obviously the Pacers held him down pretty well in that second unit.
I have a question. Does the animosity at all stem from a tweet by Jim Irsay today, Cook? Is that bothering you whatsoever?
I think it does.
I think there's a lot of rent-free living going on in both of each other's heads right now.
I honestly didn't even think about it. I just simply – somebody retweeted, I guess, or maybe it was Bowen who said it because I do follow Bowen. Said Irsay said that the Colts are Super Bowl contenders, and I just put LOL. I didn't do anything crazy. I could have said, hey, you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a left tackle, your edge rushers are weak, your best cornerback's a free agent, and I could have really went in, but I didn't. I just said LOL, and if the drunk owner that loves to do drugs thinks they're a Super Bowl contender, I think we let it go.
Facts.
Yeah, that's just where I'm at, man.
Rent-free, that's all I got to say.
Yeah, rent-free all day.
I mean, I don't know how many other – I have not seen one other owner state that we are, you know, Super Bowl contenders.
It's because all the other owners are cowards, man. I mean, Jim Irsay is the only one with the nuts to say it.
Dude, that's fine. And guess what? You guys are a few moves away from maybe doing it, but the rules of football are pretty simple. Number one, quarterback. Number two, protect the quarterback. Number three, get to the quarterback. Number four, defend the quarterback. and you don't have a quarterback, you don't have the most important position on the line, your edge rushers are old, and your best corner that stops quarterback is a free agent. It's tough. Is that rent free? I mean, those are facts. I mean, the Browns aren't really any closer. So,
listen, the whole Charlotte Hornets game has just spun into a Colts a Colts debate here, and I'm not.
I didn't know Chris took it so personally. He came at me about LaMelo Ball about one text message, like a week and a half ago, finding value on a guy that has had triple doubles.
If you didn't skip out on the last two episodes, you would have understood the joke there. But you've failed to come on the last few episodes, so that's why you didn't get it.
I believe the one time you called me, I can't remember where I was at. I think I was at a ball game. Was I at the ball game?
I think I was. The ball game, yes.
Oh, and I was at a beautiful establishment with our friends, and I couldn't answer the phone because the music was blaring. So I don't know. A lot of animosity here.
You know, like the Browns, I hear a lot of excuses coming out of here.
What about last night? Where were you last night?
Last night, I was at the Taylor Western Boone basketball game being the administrator. Taylor won both games. Congrats, Taylor Titans.
Friday night, same game. Is it going to be a repeat?
Absolutely, it's going to be a repeat. We have their number. I honestly think that they played well. I thought the only thing I would change about my game plan, if I were the Hornets, I would probably – you know, I'd probably let Devontae Graham take over a little more than Rozier. And, you know, you guys might think it's funny, but I think Malik Monk is one of those guys that the Pacers should be interested in as maybe a low cost wing guy that you could take a little bit of an advantage on maybe on a cheaper deal. He looks like he can play to me. I don't know. There must be something else going on, but I expect the Pacers to match up really well with him, just like we just did. And I kind of expect Sabonis to maybe not have a triple double, but still dominate. And I don't think they have an answer for Brogdon. And Lamb played terrible. Lamb's not going to play that bad. And I mean, that's just my thoughts on it.
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said. You sound a lot smarter when you're talking about Pacers basketball rather than Colts football, which you seem to never be able to stop talking about.
No, stop. I don't care. I just think it's hilarious. You know, I'm sitting in the middle of Indiana, and I got to hear how great they are, and I got to watch it, and I got to see this owner say that they're a Super Bowl contender, and literally their quarterback is Jake Beeson at this very moment. I mean, it literally is rent-free because Twitter is literally rent-free. That is correct.
Rent-free.
Yep.
Looking forward to Sunday's game. Pacers play the 76ers. That's probably going to be one of the biggest matchups here on the schedule coming up. Sixers are currently 12-6. They're about to beat the Lakers tonight, be 13-6. So this will be a tough game for them.
Yeah, is Embiid playing tonight? I know he's missed a couple games lately.
Yes, he is playing.
So there you go. That's going to be the key. He's been playing really well this year. We'll see if our defense in the post can continue to slow Embiid down, which will be the biggest test of the year by far.
Anything to add to that game?
No. I mean, again, this is one of the teams that we'd have to play, you know, if we want to really compete in the Eastern Conference. Embiid will have a good game. Simmons always seems to give us a matchup issue, so it's going to be interesting to see how Whitegate handles it. I don't know our exact record against the 76ers over the past couple of years, but it seems like they kind of have had our number. Obviously, they're built a little differently this year, but is what it is. I think this is a good opportunity for White Nate to show what he has against a really good point guard, really good pick and roll game between Embiid and Simmons. And let's let it roll, man. Let's see what happens. Got to win the first one on Friday though. And then you that Sunday game could be a little more playful.
Well, I just wanted to give you the opportunity to talk about it now because I figured you would bail on the podcast on Friday. So that's why I wanted to bring that up and get your thoughts.
You know, I guess I do have a home basketball game. So good chance. Actually, what time is the game? Is it 7:00 again?
Yes.
Okay. Well, yeah, there's a good chance that I'll be able to jump in. Hell, I'll talk during the game. It's okay. I can do multiple things at once. So can't wait to really break it down with you guys in this very loving podcast group we got. So
I can't wait for the cold sign Stafford, man. I'm just going to rub it in your face.
Well, that would they would have about the you know eighth or ninth best quarterback in the AFC, so they'd be a Super Bowl contender.
Anything else to add tonight's episode? This clusterfuck of an episode.
I think people are gonna like this episode.
I do too.
I mean, we got a lot of facts. We got a lot of facts out there. We've had a lot of good conversation, boys.
Are you guys
and
buying?
It's a win. Isn't it so much better when it's a win? Could you imagine if we lost and had to do it like this? There would be real animosity.
Yeah, it was a win. It was a great win. Fun win. Yeah. Kind of a game that would almost put you to sleep, I'd say, at times, but definitely a win.
Yeah. Like a heavy Jim Irsay pill put you right to sleep.
Let's hope, you know, this momentum, just like GameStop, rides into Friday, and we pick up another W here. So,
blockbuster win.
That's all we got here tonight for this episode of the podcast. We will be back Friday night to recap Pacers Hornets and then get a further in-depth look into that game against the Sixers on Sunday. Appreciate you guys listening. Have a good rest of your week, and we will talk to you this weekend.
See ya.
Bye.